Greetings. This is Matt Miller, pastor at The Village Church. The Village Church is a community committed to fixing our eyes on God, loving each other as Christ loved us, and sacrificially serving our neighbors. We hope that the content of this message will encourage you to deepen your spiritual walk, to embrace the riches of God's grace in Christ for you, and to compel you to live a life of love. We invite you to join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. as we gather together.
And we continue in reflection on the values of the Village Church, and certainly values that emerge out of Scripture, obviously, out of the heart and the reality of God, certainly love. Not surprising, right, that as a church, the bottom line, the foundational value that we would have is that we would be a loving gathering, reflecting that love that God has for us that we sang about this morning, that we would be reflecting that to each other. And as we do that together, what we frequently experience is joy, right? What do we experience when we are like-minded with each other? What do we experience when we have the same love for each other? What do we experience when we're one in spirit and purpose with another person, a gathering? We experience together that goodness. And so joy is a foundational value that we have here at the Village Church. But as we know, those things, those beautiful realities that are foundational to our life in Christ and as the body of Christ, those things have to be fought for, don't they? Memorial Day, right? Good things. It takes, it doesn't just happen, right? Because we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Psalm 103, we're dusty. We're broken human beings. We struggle. We get discouraged. Ouch, my fingernail, right? It doesn't take much. And so the intentionality, we need each other for that intentionality, don't we? Because it doesn't happen naturally to us. And it's so easy how those distractions and those diversions pull us away from the joy that God has for us. I think it was a couple weeks ago, I opened up my email and I found this amazing reality that day. It was National Raisin Day. Isn't that awesome? Do we not find so many ways to distract ourselves? We're gonna celebrate raisins today. You know, we've got our media. We've got some terms that emerge out of our media use, our social media. Have you ever heard of doom scrolling? Right? You get on that and it's just like, it happens. Doom scrolling. That is a diversion that slaughters joy, isn't it? Doom scrolling. You ask these executives, you see these executives interviewed who invent these devices and these opportunities for an infinite scroll, and you ask them, so do you, I bet your kids really like this. I would never give this to my kids. Isn't that funny? The inventors of these mechanisms, I don't even let my child look at the iPad because it's death. It's a joy killer. It's a diversion. And there we go. It's it's easy, isn't it? It's a diversion that without like optimized intentionality, we go, don't we? This happened never early one morning this week. I think it was Friday morning. Trust me, I never wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Never. But I did Friday. And so yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, get here, it's nice and quiet, and I drive by houses and you see TV, by then it was like 5:30, you see TVs on, you know, people are driving by, and, oh, TV, the news. We start early, don't we? That's a nice diversion, isn't it? The news, because we have to know, don't we? We gotta know everything. We need to know what's happening on the other side of the world. We need to know what's happening over there. We have intentionality, because isn't that a diversion? It's a diversion that distracts. And actually, I think particularly with the news, it does two things. It seems like it's been having a tendency to divide us, right? Because we pick one stream or thread of news and we fill our being with it, and then all of a sudden we start getting divisive and tribal. Oh, they're bad. I'm good. And we gotta get intentional, don't we? About minimizing that. It also makes us gloomy. I once heard someone say that those who know the most are the most gloomy. What do you think? What do you think of that? We like knowledge, don't we? We want to know more stuff, but sometimes the more we know, the more gloomy we are, because isn't this life, this world, filled with that? And the more we fill ourselves with the news gloom, because that's what the news is, right? It's the gloom of the world. Right? Yes, Genesis 1, we're made in the image of God, but in traditional theology, there's a couple different designations in that reflection on God's image. One is there are two types of attributes that God has. There are incommunicable attributes of God that we really don't have as his image bearers, like omniscience. And there are attributes that we have that are communicable. We do have those traits of God: love, emotion, a desire to be together. And so, yeah, omniscience is in community. We don't have omniscience, but it seems like we want it, don't we? I don't think we're designed to be omniscient. The more we know, the gloomier we are, so there are ditches that we fall into, aren't there? As we hold these values of living a life of love, experiencing a deep goodness, celebratory joyfulness in relationship with each other, it takes intentionality, and it's good to be aware of the ditches that we fall into. In chapter 15 of John, it says, "Remain in me, and I will remain in you." Main intentionality. Jesus desires that we would remain in him. Fruits. The fruit of the Spirit, that love, that joy. And when we detach from him and dig and dive into ditches, we struggle. We break down, and we see this in Isaiah chapter 58. I'm going to read a little bit from Isaiah chapter 58, verse 9 through 14. And we see and listen to God's interaction with his call, his chosen people, as they have fallen into ditches as it relates to their awareness and intentionality in their remaining. In their remaining. This is what God says. If you do away with the yoke of oppression, unkindness, with the pointing finger and malicious talk, and if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness, and your night will become like the noonday. The Lord will guide you always. He will satisfy your needs in a sun-scorched land and will strengthen your frame. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwellings. If, intentionality, remaining, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if, intentionality, you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if, intentionality, remaining, and if you honor it by not going your own way and by not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy attached. You will of the land. In the Lord, and I will cause on the inheritance on the heights of the land. So God describes two things there, doesn't he? He describes life detached. You get a lot of description there of life, what it looks like to live detached, unremained in the source. And love is elusive in that, isn't it? Because when we're not marinating and attached to the one who is love, when we're detached from that reality and his life, then that comes through in our life, and we are highly susceptible to diversions that divide and push away others. We are highly susceptible to doing things my way, and when we do that, even in the church, when we divest or detach ourselves from the source, what frequently happens is these inspired words of God, we reduce them. We reduce them to do's and to don'ts. To control, to fear, to power, when we do it our way. These do's and don'ts are reduced to things that are used to threaten punishment. If you don't, then, right? And that creates fear and anxiety in us when we are detached, right? We reduce God's word to something it wasn't intended to be. And we reduce his day to my day, right? He says, is the Sabbath just a day? Is it just a ritual for you? And then you do those things on my day? It's become your day. The day that I have set aside for you to reflect me. In the building of a temple in the ancient Near East, the final climactic moment of the building of the temple is when it didn't sat down. It didn't mean that his kingdom in its beauty, in its order, in its peace, and from that throne of rest, he was able to rule a harmonious, a whole nation. This is what God invites us into. This is what God invited his people into. The Sabbath rest is a day. It's an opportunity for you to reflect my wholeness, my peace-filledness, my goodness to those around you. But you've reduced it. You've pulled yourself away from me, and when you do that, next thing you know, you're experiencing division, and you raise fiery fists and strife and oppression and power. And so you've reduced it because you've detached yourself from me. And so in that detachment, the things that God desires for good, we reduce to rituals and to rules. But God also presents the alternative. He also presents the if-thens. He turns, if you remain in me, this all changes. You will flourish. Right? That day when it's attached to me, the source of love and to life, that day will be a delight. Psalm 1 is another place that describes this. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Listen to what it says. Blessed is the one who remains in me. Blessed is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. And so, attached to the source, his law is a delight. You delight in his law? Desourced from him, their do's and don'ts, right? And to the source changes everything. His law is no longer reduced to do's and don'ts. They're elevated to delights. They're elevated to delight. Is the law of the Lord a delight to you? One of the most hurtful things that you can hear is the breaking of that commandment to take God's name in vain, right? Have you ever heard that? Oh my. Why? Because God is a delight. God is the, and I've said that sometimes. I don't want to keep this a doom, but plug into the source. Are you plugged in to the source? God is life and beauty and all of those good things. Why? Why? The law of the Lord is a delight. Why does God invite us into that law? Because he's life. He's love, joy, peace. He wants us to experience the greatest of the great. And so the laws of the Lord are letters of love. This is how I want you to arrange your existence, because it is good. It is good. And so plugged into the source, these aren't do's and don'ts. They are a delight. And that's how Jesus sums them up. What's the best one, Jesus? Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summation of the law. They're a delight. Because love is the cord that unites and binds them together. And so his day, his law is a delight. It's life when it's attached to the source. And so how do we create intention around that? How do we create intention around that? It takes awareness, doesn't it? It takes awareness. Are my actions, my expressions, my interactions, are they more and more deeply presenting the love of God to others, or are they less and less doing that, right? Is there a diminished or an app by my witness to those around me, by my life, by my actions? It's kind of the intentionality barometer, right? How do we, got to have that up here and in here. This, anything that is diminishing a presence of love is a pulling away from the source. So, I mean, it's like this, you know. It's like you gotta get down and get aware, right, and get intentional with ourselves. Lord, I pray that my life would reflect. Lord, may my actions and my words reflect you to others, so that I'm not a doing and a don'ting. I'm not presenting fear and punishment, that I'm reflecting your grace, your goodness, your joy, your hope. Got to do intentionality like that. Intentionality in that presentation of who God is to our neighbor. Intentionality. Ditch removal, right? Ditch removal. That's one area of intentionality that his law of love would be what we strive for. It would be a delight to people around us. And then in Isaiah 58, we get another avenue of intentionality, and it comes through the visuals of creation. If you live that reflection of my love, right? If you live that reflection of, if my law is a delight to you, and you're reflecting that sacrificial love and grace to people around you, then your light will rise. Right? The sun will rise in you. You will feel a lightness and a life like when you wake up and see the sun this morning and the blue sky. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. God points us to creation. And I think there's an opportunity in there for us today. Clouds and maybe a forecast. It appears as though there's going to be some light. It's going to be a reduction in clouds and maybe an elevation in temperature. I don't know about you, but when I start to step outside in spring, it's palpable in me. I step outside on a warm spring day. It just draws me up into worship. It does. Like I feel it. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God. This day, this week, there's another way that we can stepping into nature and drinking intentionally, stepping out into the canopy of God's sanctuary and drinking. The heavens declare his glory. They pour forth his speech of beauty, of goodness. There's an author, Dallas Willard. Some of you have heard of him. I love what he wrote. Dallas Willard said, God is undoubtedly the most joyous being in the universe. And he goes on to write that one of the most profound ways to step into that infinite joy is to step into the temple of creation. He went to South Africa. He was standing on a beachside hilltop, and this is what he wrote. He said, words cannot capture the view that confronted me. I saw space and light and texture and color and power that seemed hardly of this earth. It is perhaps strange to say, but suddenly I was extremely happy for God. I thought that was kind of humorous. All of a sudden I was super happy for God. And thought I had some sense of what an infinite for joyous consciousness he is, and of what it might have meant for him to look at his creation and find it very good. Guess what? We get to drink droplets of that. An aesthetic of joy. We can step out into an aesthetic of God's joy. Today, this week, let's go intentional on that and have an acute awareness of the exhilaration of God's joy. You went on spring break, some of summer trips and vacations, and over when we do that, what do we come back with? We come back with photographs that we go to our friends, we come to church, and we say, this is what we did. This is what we did, and so frequently, what is it? It's a picture of a mountain. It's a picture of the beach, right? That's what I do. And I know that's what many of you do because I've seen your pictures. This is amazing. It was an awesome trip. Look at what I got to see. And another way of saying that is look what God does. Look what God does. let's be intentional. And let's look at what God does and drink of that joy. And as we do that, experience that, there's a deeper love and a joy that wells up within us that we long to share with each other. There's a YouTube channel called Scenic Relaxation. Some of you have heard of it. It's pretty cool. Recommend it. It's beautiful scenes from all over the world. Appropriately named Scenic Relaxation. I want us to step into a 4-minute visual of this is what God does. And God invites us to intentionally step into his glorious joy and drink and drink. Let's pray. Lord, we're thankful for what you do. You've given us a glimmer of the infinite joy that is your being. And there's so many diversions in this life that there are days we get into our car, we do our thing, and we don't even look up. We ask that you would germinate in us seeds of intentionality. Your heavens declare your glory, and you long for us to taste the taste of your goodness. We thank you for your word and for your life that meet us with divine directives to experience the love of God. Forgive us for reducing them to rules and rituals. You want them to be divine directives that give us a glimpse and a taste of your glorious love for us in the way in which you want us to reflect your love to the world around us, to the people around us. And so give us an intentionality around your directive to love as you have loved us. We thank you for that. And to share it together.
We appreciate you taking the time to listen. We hope these words serve to strengthen you, to deepen your faith, or to draw you to faith in Christ. For us, that faith and following Jesus compels us to love and serve others. And that shapes us. It shapes our identity here at the Village Church. We know that God's desire is that we would both love Him and love our neighbor. We would love to see you. We welcome you to join us on location every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. We are located at 1650 8th Avenue in Baldwin, Wisconsin. As you go into this week, may your joy be rooted in Jesus as you seek Him first.